The First Testament lesson is taken from the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verses 32 through 36, and you may follow along on page 591 of the Old Testament in the Pew Bible. Please listen for the word of God. And now, my children, listen to me. Happy are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Happy is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But those who miss me injure themselves. All who hate me love death. This is the word of the Lord.
I always sound so much better singing when you're here. We turn our attention now to our New Testament lesson, which is the small opening section of what's called the prologue of John. John sort of has this 18 or 19 verse opening section, which sort of lays out his vision of creation. We're going to be looking at only the first five verses this morning. So you can find him on page 91 of your New Testament. Let us listen to the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. The word of the Lord. You, yes, you and you can control the weather. Now, I know that may come as a big surprise, but according to a politician recently turned theologian, in a recent interview, this person said that we, the people of God, can control the weather. Now, you may be asking yourselves, how is that possible? How can we control the weather? The simple answer is, if we do exactly what God wants us to do, then God will do whatever we ask of God. So, perfect obedience to God means God gives us what we want, and so therefore, if I want water on my lawn and you want it dry for a picnic, we can both have it our way. Now again, you may be asking yourselves, well, that would be really wonderful, but I'm a little dubious. Where did this person come up with this idea that if we do exactly what God wants us to do, then God will do exactly what we want God to do? Well, interestingly enough, it comes from this book. It comes from the scripture. And in fact, it comes out of our morning's lesson, this piece of Proverbs. And it has to do with this thing called wisdom. Now, often when we talk about wisdom, we think about wisdom as in we learn something and we apply it well to our lives so that our lives are lived prudently and well and things go okay, right? That's sort of wisdom. We learn it from our parents and our grandparents. But Scripture has an entirely different view of wisdom. And this is sort of your Bible 101 for the morning. Wisdom in the Scriptures is actually a person. It's a woman. Wisdom, the Greek word for wisdom is Sophia. And in this text, in Proverbs, we hear Sophia talking. And here's part of what Sophia has to say to us. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. Then I was beside God like a master worker, and I was daily God's delight, rejoicing before God always, rejoicing in God's inhabited world and delighting in the human race. That wisdom in the scriptures is almost like this part of God that teaches and instructs. And the wonderful thing about Sophia, about wisdom, is part of our morning's reading, is that if we listen to Sophia and are obedient, then we have God's favor. If we don't listen to Sophia, well, Katie bar the door, things are not going to go well. And this is, again, verses 35 and 36. For whoever finds me, and this is wisdom talking, finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But those who miss me injure themselves. All who hate me love death. It's sort of quid pro quo. You do what wisdom teaches and everything good happens. You don't do what wisdom says and things don't go well. Now I realize this, you may be struggling with this, but if we think about it, this is very logical. Isn't this the way the world is supposed to work? Okay, so how many of you have ever had a job? Okay, all right. Well, at work, if you do well, if you meet all of your quotas, if you have your projects out on time, if your product sells well, if you've done everything right, what do you expect? Yeah, you expect a raise. You expect a bonus. You expect at least someone to pat you on the back and say, good job, right? An attaboy or an attagirl. You really expect good things to happen. All right, so you're a professional running back, and you run for, say, 5,000 yards in a season. Okay? So, what do you expect at the end of the season? Not only do you expect all sorts of awards, but you expect to be able to renegotiate your contract for a lot of money. Right? You do well, you get rewarded. Now, on the other hand, if you don't do well, you don't expect to get rewarded. If you're one of those Wells Fargo people who took out credit cards in other people's names, who took out loans and opened bank accounts in people's names that they didn't know you were opening for them, if you really think about it, chances are you don't expect to get bonuses for too long before they fire you. If you're a quarterback and in a season you throw 80 interceptions and 2 touchdowns, you probably expect to be riding the bench. You probably expect to get traded or sort of just cut at the end of the season, right? So this is logical. This is the way the world works. You do well, you get rewarded. You don't do well, things don't go well. So it would make sense then that God would act in the same way. Except for one little problem. And that is that Jesus is the wisdom of God, and Jesus' wisdom is completely illogical. First, Jesus is the wisdom of God. This is what this opening piece of the Gospel of John is about. In the beginning was the and the Word was with, and the Word was. All right. So, Word, if you want to take it, Word equals wisdom equals Jesus. When John is writing this and bringing forward this idea of who Jesus is, in the beginning was the Word. He talks about the Word is there in creation. Everything that was created was made through the Word. What does that sound like? It sounds like that piece of Proverbs where wisdom was in the beginning and helping God create everything and was the workman. What John is drawing on is this image of wisdom as always being present with God, as always creating with God. And so what John is saying is that Jesus is the wisdom of God. So therefore, if you want to know how to act and how to live and how to treat others, the place you look is not back to Proverbs or Proverbs 8. Where you look is to Jesus. Because Jesus is the wisdom, the Word made flesh, living with us, showing us the way in all that Jesus said and did. And so that's the first part, is that Jesus is this living wisdom. But this living wisdom is incredibly illogical. Think about the people Jesus forgives. Jesus forgives all sorts of people who don't deserve to be forgiven. They bring him this woman who has been caught in the middle of having an adulterous affair. And what does Jesus do? He forgives her without the woman ever asking. You have Matthew, the tax collector, who's betrayed his nation, who has betrayed his people, and Jesus goes and Jesus forgives him. This is illogical because it just shouldn't happen. And then we've got Peter. Peter who betrays Jesus, who three times claims, I don't know him. I've never seen him. And then runs away when Jesus needs him the most. And yet, at the end of the Gospel of John, we see Jesus forgiving him. And then when Jesus is being nailed to the cross, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. This is all very illogical. Logic would say that Jesus shouldn't forgive these people. Jesus should curse them and hold them accountable and punish them. And yet there Jesus is forgiving them. And just think about the people that Jesus calls to be his disciples. Okay, a couple of the disciples are called the sons of thunder because they have anger management issues. And yet Jesus calls them, and you have James and John who are always arguing. No, we're better than the rest of you. No, we want to be in first place. No, we want to sit at your right hand when the kingdom comes. Aren't we better, Jesus? And Jesus still calls them and teaches them and trains them to be his followers. And then, again, you have Peter. Here's Peter who says, oh, you are the Messiah. But, by the way, Jesus, don't go to the cross. Jesus keeps him on, even if he doesn't understand. And then there's even Judas, who Jesus knows will betray him, but Jesus keeps him on to the very end. None of these people deserve to be his followers, should be his followers, ought to be, and yet this illogical wisdom of God in Jesus has Christ called them. And in fact, this is the illogical wisdom that we call grace. That if you go to the very end of this opening of John, this is what John writes. From Jesus, from the Word, from wisdom's fullness, we've all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus. See, this is the illogic of grace that says we don't get what we deserve. What we get is the outpouring of the love and wisdom of God in Jesus Christ. We get forgiveness. We get reconciliation. We get new life. This is the illogic of grace and the wisdom of Christ. And the struggle, I think, for so many of us is that we know that this is what we receive, but the struggle is to give it to others. Because I think so often our tendency is to judge. Any of you ever judge somebody? The tendency is to judge, to hold everybody accountable to some level of accountability that we don't want anybody holding us to. We're happy to receive this illogical grace of God, and yet it's so hard to give it to other people. But that's what we're called to do. We are called to live this illogical wisdom and grace. We are called to love our enemies. We're called to pray for those who persecute us. We are called to forgive 70 times 7. Today is the 15th anniversary, and I'm sure most of you are highly aware of this, the 15th anniversary of 9/11. And all of us, I'm sure, carry with us images from that day. We remember where we were. We remember when we first saw it. Amy, 5 years ago, talked about actually watching it, being there in New York City. And for me, two of the most profound images, the first is of people covered in dust, running from the towers. This huge cloud of gas and dust as the buildings were coming down, they're running away to be safe. But the other image is of people running toward the towers. The first responders, the EMTs, the firefighters, the police, running into these buildings that are burning and crumbling, running in, risking their lives for people they've never met. People they have no idea. Do these people deserve to be saved? Are they good people? Are they bad people? They have no idea. See, this is the illogic of grace, that one would run into these buildings risking one's life in order to save the lives of others. This is what the illogic of grace and wisdom in Jesus Christ is all about. It is about you and I turning out our lives for others, whether we know them or don't know them, whether they deserve it or don't deserve it, because this is the way the illogical wisdom of Christ works. And so my challenge to you all for this week, as you think again about 9/11, as you look out at what is often seems like such a judgmental and crazy world, is to ask yourself this question: how am I showing the illogical grace of God to everyone that I meet, that they might know that in God's wisdom, they truly matter? Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks that you come to us with a grace-filled heart, that in the wisdom, the Word of God in Jesus Christ, we are forgiven, shown the light, and made new. Help us to be that light to the world, helping all people to know of your love and your grace. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.